Hey guys, this week I was online and I went and I found a survey and I found out a lot about you guys and your age and kind of how distorted you guys spend some of your time. These were statistics taken for children 12 to 15 years old last year and how they spent their time average per day. The first and foremost, just to let you guys know, you guys sleep way too much. You guys sleep an average of 9.5 hours a day on average. I'm lucky to get 7. Sometimes I get 8 and that's sleeping in. But you guys are 9.5. But the rest of your day, how do you guys spend it? Well, this is what it says. You guys average 2 hours and 20 minutes a day watching television. 2 hours and 20 minutes average per day. Also, you guys are in school. Anybody guess how long you actually work in school? 6 hours, right? That's what you think? Watch, this is what it comes up with. You guys are actually only working 2 hours and 5 minutes of that time. So you guys watch TV more than you guys actually are learning in school. Kind of cool. Eating and drinking, this is about right for me. 51 minutes you guys spend a day eating and drinking. Now that sounded pretty good, but the next one is grooming. How long you guys take in the shower, getting ready, brushing your teeth? 50 minutes. You guys spend as much time getting ready for the day as you do feeding yourself. And again, girls, you may be a little higher than 50 minutes, if you know what I mean. Austin, I know my brother's lucky if he gets a good 10 minutes in a day. So guys, girls, but this is average. The next part is socializing and communicating. An hour and 45 minutes is what you actually spend. My slide here probably says a little something different. But an hour and 45 minutes is how much you spend socializing and getting to a place where you can socialize. Whether that's walking around campus to find a friend, whether that's driving to school, getting online. You guys spend a total for socializing, IMing, texting, emailing, and talking an hour and 45 minutes a day. Now to put this kind of, okay, well that's nice, I spent an hour and 45 minutes. Let me tell you what that equals per year. Per year, it equals 547 hours you guys speak. 23 days a year, you are just blabbering, just talking to each other. That's it. Now, to give you contrast, myself, my age, 28 years old, I spend 45 minutes a day, 273 hours a year, and 11 days. So you guys talk 23 days a year, I only talk 11. Now, if you know me, that's probably not right because I love to talk, so I'm a little bit higher, probably closer to you guys. But that brought up a question to me. How much of this time that we spend daily, whether it's an hour and 45 minutes or just 45 minutes, do we spend communicating with God? How much time do we spend per day talking to God in prayer? Most of us, we say prayers at night, now I lay me down to sleep kind of thing. Some of us fall asleep when we're praying because it's bedtime. Some of us say prayers during grace. But how much do we actually just spend communicating? You guys spend an hour and 45 minutes a day talking to one another. But yet we don't spend hardly any time talking to one another like with God. Now let me define prayer for you. Prayer is defined by the Webster's College Dictionary as a reverent petition to a deity. Just so you know, petition is a formal message requesting something. So the world sees prayer as a list to Santa Claus. They see prayer as a way of asking for things. But that's not true. That's not what it should be. That's not what it is. But that's what we make it. A lot of us say prayers when we need things. A lot of us say prayers when we want things. I put the iPhone up on the last slide. That's something that I love right now. I'll never get it. But man, I would pray, oh God, give me the iPhone, you know? But that's what we only spend. We only spend prayer when we need stuff. Today, if you guys want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. I'm actually going to cut out a couple of those verses for time. So we're just going to go to verse 9. But let me set up what's going on. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, how do we pray? Well, in those days, prayer was distorted, much like it is today. You had a bunch of people in the Jewish culture that wanted to be noticed. They would stand on the street corner and pray loudly, Dear God, thank you for this day. And they wanted people to see them. They wanted people to notice how holy they were. And Jesus said, those men already have their rewards on earth because people are noticing. But when I want you to pray, I want you to go find a quiet place. I want you to be by yourself, and I want you to pray like this. So we'll open up Matthew 6, verses 9. A lot of you guys know this prayer. You guys probably don't even have to read it. You guys just don't know you know this prayer. It goes like this. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. How many of you guys know that prayer? Do you guys know? You guys probably know the King James Version, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A lot of you guys know that prayer. It's a very popular prayer in the Catholicism religion, Catholics. It's a prayer they say daily. It's a prayer they say before meals. My grandpa, every time we say grace, he says that prayer. Now, does he know what it means? Probably not. But they just say it because it's memorized. A lot of you guys see that prayer and you're like, well, I say that prayer in sports. When I was in high school, I said that prayer before every football game. Had nothing to do with football. Has nothing, I'm not getting daily bread for football, but that seems to be the prayer. But this is the prayer Jesus told us, you, me, everyone, to pray and how to pray. So I broke it up today in five must-haves, five, must-haves of prayer. These are things you need to have in your prayer life that Jesus commanded you to have. The first one we're going to see in verse 9, it says, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You must have a reverence for God. You must. First, you need to understand he is your father. He is your dad in heaven. He gave you life on earth. He gave you life eternity. He created you and he gave you life forever. Respect him as such. You don't go to your father and say, what up, homeboy? Peace. Because if you did, your father's probably going to smack you. Say, respect your elders. Okay? Just have reverence for him. And when it says, hallowed be thy name, I don't know what hallowed means, so I looked it up. Hallowed just means pure or holy. That name, our Father in heaven, is pure and holy. The name that they used to use in the Old Testament was Yahweh. The Jews would use this name Yahweh. This name was, well, we think that's how they pronounce it because they never even said it. They felt too dirty as humans to say that name. So they would call it the unmentionable name. The name that you cannot say. So we think it's called Yahweh. We think that's what they called it. But it's such a pure and holy name that we shouldn't even utter it in the Old Testament. But now with Jesus washing our sins, we can say God. Remember that he is holy. Too many times we hear people, first off, you use the name of God and Jesus Christ in vain. That totally is not holy. But even in prayer, a lot of us use the name God or Lord as punctuation. Kind of like if you're writing out a sentence, you'll throw, instead of a comma, you'll say, Lord. Instead of pausing and getting your thoughts together, you'll just say, and Lord, thank you, and Lord, 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 Lord. Or at the end, you're like, well, he said Lord a lot. You know, why did he say it so much? It's okay to take time, guys, when you're praying, especially if you're praying out loud. That's kind of intimidating. If you're praying out loud, take some time, just pause. Just think about it. Think about what you're praying for when you do it. In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So right there in Colossians, it tells us when we should use Jesus' name. When we give thanks to God for what he's done in our life. That's when we use Jesus Christ's name. Think about it like this. When you're talking to your friend, if I'm talking to Kevin, I go into his office. Say, hey, Kevin, how you doing? Kevin, this weekend at service, Kevin, I was wondering, Kevin, if we could maybe put some things in the bulletin, Kevin. And can I get a Coke, Kevin? And Kevin, thanks for the Coke, Kevin. I mean, we don't say that, right? That doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess it's proper. We could. But we say, hey, Kevin. And then I just tell him what I want or tell him what I'm needing or why I'm there. So remember, when you use God's name, use it in a place where it's reverent, where it's holy, where it's pure. So there you go. There's the first must-have is reverence for God. The second part comes from verse 10. It's the reality of his will. Now, this is kind of a touchy subject. You hear it a lot around the church. The will of God. You should be in the will of God. This ministry is the will of God. Well, what is that? What is the will of God? Now, I could go on probably for another 2 hours about the will of God. But I'm not, because you guys probably want to go home. But the will of God is this. It's pretty much defined for us in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It talks nothing about making you a millionaire there. It talks nothing about raising people from the dead. It just talks about his will for your life is plans to prosper, not to harm, to give future and hope. That's all. The will of God is the plan that he has for all of us. Each and every person in here has a different plan for their life. Some of you guys could be missionaries. Some of you guys could be pastors. Some of you guys could work in the post office. Some of you guys could just end up being a person that works at McDonald's. Some of you women have the privilege of raising children your whole life. But if you're in the will of God, that's the best part because your life will be great. And that's what he has for you. Not everyone will be a pastor. Not everyone will be a leader in Velocity. Some of you guys will just go on and represent Christ to the world. And that's the will of God. Remember when I talked about David a couple weeks ago? I said he was like a dog and a master. A lot of times you'll see a big dog pulling their master with their leash and leading them where they want. Sometimes you'll see a stubborn dog and the master will be pulling him, okay? But David was a man after God's own heart. He was in the shadow of God. He was with his will. He was in his will. And it was like one of those dogs you see I'm really jealous of because the dog follows the master wherever it goes without a leash. You guys seen those dogs? Right? That's what it means to be in the will of God, to be next to God, and you know where he's going to turn and you just follow. That way, when you ask for something, he's like, absolutely, this is what I want for your life. I'll give that to you. It's a lot like my son. I have a 3-year-old son. His name is Aiden. He looks just like me. He's a clone. And he is getting to that age where he thinks he knows what he wants. He knows what's best for him. And he likes to shower. He doesn't like to take a bath. He likes to shower. And we'll turn the shower on, and his first instinct is to jump in, not knowing what temperature the water is. So I have to hold him back and make sure the water's right. His new thing is he loves these light plugs. These things for him are like Legos. I don't know. He loves to put things in them. Now, he hasn't got to do it yet because we have caps over it. But every chance he sees, he goes to one with like a pen or a coin, a pencil, a Hot Wheel I think he tried once. And he would love to stick things in there. But as his father, I know my plan for my son's life is to make sure he grows up, that he's healthy, that he has a good life. So I protect him from things. And a lot of times that's what God does for us. We want to go do this with our life. We want to be a rock star. We want to be just want to go out and just have a band and be successful. And you pray for that. You pray to God, God, allow me to be this successful rock star. Well, in all reality, God knows that if you become a successful rock star, it's about as successful as my son sticking a pen in that light socket. It will only lead to destruction. It will only lead to death and sin. So remember, when you're in God's will, it's his plan for your life. Remember to pray that his plan will come to fruition, will come about in your life. Because if his plan is coming for your life, you got a really good person on your side pulling for you. Do you guys understand that? If you're doing what he wants, he'll fight the battle for you. You don't even have to worry about it. So the first was reverence for God. The second was the realization of his will. The third is requests from us. Now, I do notes up here when I teach. This page is all for requests. Even I, when I do notes, focus on our requests, because that's why most of us pray. But we see here in verse 11, Jesus prays for his daily bread. He's not praying for McDonald's. He's not praying for Outback. Not praying for a big bowl of Captain Crunch. He's praying for his daily bread. This bread that he's talking about, imagine a tortilla, a hard tortilla. That's what it is. The Jews had a bread that they would send out when they would go walking throughout Israel, and it had a lot of nutrients in it that would keep them going, just keep their belly full so they would survive. And that's all he's asking for. He's not asking for jelly with the bread. He's just asking for the necessities of his life, the bare minimum just to survive. That's all he cares about. It's hard for us to imagine because we all live in America. None of us are starving. I'm obviously not starving, as you can tell by my stomach. I am a healthy guy. But that's hard for us to just pray for the bare necessities. My wife and I went to Gardunio's 2 nights ago. And, man, we chowed out. I ordered chips and salsa, Coke, a burrito Magnifico, which is like a burrito the size of like this whole binder. It was huge. In fact, I still have some left. Sopapillas, and we ate this. And we were so full. But when I went to study the next morning, I thought, how wrong of me. I pray for that kind of food. When all Jesus prayed for was like a couple chips. That's all he wants. He just wants enough to get by. So remember when we request to be humble about it, try to not be American for a minute, and instead of praying for an iPhone, why don't you just give thanks that you have family and friends that you actually can talk to, that they're alive, that they love you. The second part of Jesus' request is he was very direct in what he asked for. He didn't say, God, make my belly full somehow, and hopefully you'll give me something to drink, maybe? No, no, no. He wasn't vague. He wasn't he didn't beat around the bush. He went right in. Lord, give me this bread so I can survive. And all too many times, as we pray very vague. Someone's sick in our life. Let's say someone has cancer. Instead of praying, God, please take the cancer from their lungs, we pray, God, I hope you make them feel better. God, I just pray that, I guess that he gets better. You know, it's better to pray direct. If you need something, need, not want, need something, pray for it. Pray directly. When you guys are going back to school, when we do the prayer concentration, don't just pray, oh, God, bless my school. Because how do you know if he answered that? How do you know what you're praying for? God, please allow me to talk to 2 people this year about you. Allow me to share the gospel twice. Allow me to plant 3 seeds. Pray these direct prayers and you'll get direct answers. But if you pray vague, it's kind of hopeless because that's when you feel like God's not talking back. We can't get God to talk back to us, but we know he's listening when he answers those prayers. Pray directly. Do not pray vague. The last part I kind of didn't even notice until right at the end of when I read it. Last point was his will. About really getting grasped that his will be done. But then Jesus prays for his daily bread. And remember that his prayer for his life came after God's plans. Jesus put such a precedence on God fulfilling his plan, and then he prayed for his food. Jesus would rather die of starvation than to see God's plan not come about. You guys need to really listen to that. He would rather die from not eating than to see God's plan not come around. It's better to have God's will happen in everyone's life and die than to be selfish and ask for things before God's will. So when you pray, make sure to pray that, God, you do your plan in my life. Please allow your plan to come about in my life. And God, please, then ask for what you need. Ask for what you would like to see happen in your life. It's a big thing because in Psalms 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you desires of your heart. It's a little kind of weird because you're thinking, well, he gives me the desires of my heart if I pray, but not really. Because in First John you'll read, I don't have it up here right now, but in First John it talks about if you're in God's will and you pray, if you're in God's will and you're praying for God's will, he will give it to you. But if you're not in God's will, he will not. He will not give that to you. So he'll give you the desires of your heart if you're in his will. But remember, when you request, always request what you need after you just praise God for his plan for your life. And just remember this when you're praying for stuff. Remember, God always answers prayers. A lot of you guys may not believe that. Every single prayer that we lift up to him, he will answer. He will answer. But he won't answer it the way you want all the time. He'll either answer yes, absolutely. You want an iPhone? There it is. It will help you in my plan for you. He'll sometimes say no, no way. That will lead to sin in your life. It already has led to sin. Let's use an iPhone as an example. I lust after the iPhone. I'm not going to give that to you. He's saying no. He's a parent. No, you're not ready for that. And then sometimes it's just, yes, I want to give that to you, but not yet. Not right now. You guys are all young. You guys, none of you guys can drive. But you guys can pray for a car. Oh, God, please give me that new Tahoe. Give me a new car. And God will say, absolutely, I'll give you a car. But not yet. None of you guys can even reach the gas pedal. So remember, well, some of you guys can reach the gas pedal. But remember, God will always answer your prayers, but it may not just be with a yes. Sometimes he answers it with a no. So We have reverence for God, reality of His will, and request from us. I can't stress enough on the request from us, how we need to go humbly about it. Again, this is not Santa Claus you're writing a list to, guys. You're not just going, yeah, I'd like a bike and a PlayStation 3, some games with it, maybe make my sister not talk to me anymore because she's mean. It's not a list like that, guys. It's going and asking Him what you need. It's communicating with Him. Imagine if you always went to your parents and said, hey, Mom, Dad, this is what I want. Bye. And just walked away. They'd be like, I'm not going to give you that. You never spend time with the family. You're not spending time with me. You're not investing in me. I would love to give my kids everything that they want. As a father, I would love to give my son PlayStation 3 and Nintendo Wii and Xbox 360 and every game. I can't afford that, but if I could, I would love to. But he needs to invest in our family. He needs to invest in our relationship. I'm not just going to give this stuff out to anybody, especially if you're not grateful for it. How many times do we actually say thank you to God when He answers that prayer? How many times do we go back and say, God, You answered that prayer. Thank You so much. You're such a giving God. Thank You. Too many times we ask for things, God gives it to us, and then we go ask for more. We don't say thank You. We don't praise Him for what He's answered. So remember that when you go to Him, when you ask Him for things, remember that part. The second to last thing, that the must-haves of prayer, is repaying of debt. I have a credit card bill that comes every month. Actually, I have a couple credit card bills that come every month. And on it has a minimum payment due, and it has a balance due. Well, if I don't pay those things, consequences will happen. I won't be able to get more things. They'll probably take those things away. They'll take my car away. But we see here in verse 12, it says, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, a lot of you guys are thinking, well, I already prayed the prayer to forgive me of my sins. I prayed that sinner's prayer, Lord, take these sins from me. And yes, God took them from you. And it says in the Bible, He took every sin you'll ever do from you. He's cleansed you of all sin. But in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also in James, it talks about accountability with each other here on earth, to confess our sins to someone, and they do likewise back to you. It's in James. If you were in Oasis, we talked about accountability, being able to confess problems you're having with someone else. God wants to hear you confess these sins, even though He already forgave them. He wants you to confess them because, first off, selfishly, it makes you feel better. If you sin, if you're cheating, if you're lying and you say, Lord, forgive me, I have cheated and lied. You know that those are forgiven, but it's like, oh, I got that off my chest. You think for some reason you're hiding these things from God, but you're not. But in 1 John, it says we need to confess these daily. So that first part, forgive us of our debts, God will do that. We know God will do that. He's God. He'll forgive us. But the hardest part of this prayer, I think, for all of us, the hardest part is forgive our debtors. Forgive the people that owe us, that wronged us, that sinned against us. Too many times, we will go and pray to God and say, God, forgive me, for I lied and cheat, and I cheated. But yet you'll have a friend that lied and cheated to you, and you won't forgive them. You'll hold it against them. You'll be mean to them. You won't forgive that. And because of that, you're sinning. As a Christian, we are commanded to forgive others as He forgave us. Must. It's a must. I can't even come up with a cool analogy. I can't come up with a Greek name for it. It's just do it. Like Nike, do it. You must do it. So forgive us of our debts, forgive our debtors. And in Matthew 18:22, to kind of give you an example of where he says this, Peter's kind of bragging to the disciples and Jesus, saying, I forgave 7 times. I'm holy. I'm Peter. I'm the rock, right? But in 18:22, he says, Jesus, how many times should we forgive someone? And Jesus replies this, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That's 490 times. You must forgive someone for the exact same sin. Not, I'm going to forgive Kevin 490 times, period. I'm going to forgive Kevin 490 times for stealing a Coke from me. So if Kevin steals 490 times, which he won't, it just doesn't happen. No one sins that much against you the same way. So what Jesus is kind of saying here is, you must forgive until you die. And I mean, don't we owe that to people? If we are Christians, if we are representation of Christ on earth, He's forgave us. Let's forgive others. So a must-have in prayer, yes, you're gonna ask for God's will. Yes, you're going to ask for your things. But make sure to say, God, forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I'm having a hard time forgiving my brother or sister for what they did. I'm having a hard time forgiving my friend for lying to me. Help me forgive them. And trust me, He will allow you to forgive. That's such a key part of being a Christian. When they see someone that forgives, I had a kid in the skate park this week steal a skateboard from another kid and put it in the back of their car, and we found out about it. And I'm telling you, this is a $140 skateboard. And if it was me, I would have been so mad. If someone would have stole my iPod or something, I'd be like, oh, thanks. And I just walked away. This guy goes, gets the skateboard, he said, because the guy gave it back to him, we busted him. And he said, thank you for my skateboard, I forgive you for doing that. And he walks away. And I was like, what? That doesn't happen. And I talked to him later. He's like, you know what? I knew he stole it. And even if he wouldn't have given it back, if he would have come up with some lie, I still would have forgave him. That's what we are as Christians. We forgive. Because who are we not to forgive when we've messed up so many times and Jesus forgave us? So, repaying of debt. The last part is rescue from our sin. It says here, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The evil one is Satan. Temptation is sin. But the biggest part here is relieve us of our sin nature. Our world is saturated with sin. Everywhere you look is sin. In the church, there's sin. At home, there's sin. On TV, there's sin. On your games, there's sin. There's sin in your heart. That's just who we are. That's what we are. It's the flesh. That's what we want to do is sin. But what it's saying is deliver us from that. And a lot of you guys are thinking, delivery man, UPS. So, okay, I'm sinning on the street, and God will come and save me. Well, let me tell you this. If you guys are having a problem, let's just use lust. If one of you guys is saying, man, oh God, just take this girl away from me because I'm lusting, and I know that's a sin. Well, God's not going to come down and take the girl away. The girl's not going to be moving to another state. If that was the case, none of you guys could be here because you guys would all eventually make each other sin and you guys would all live by yourself. And you'd still sin even on top of that. So when it says deliver, it's not going to deliver you like Spider-Man. He's not going to come down and swoop on his web and take you out of the picture. That word deliver in Greek, it's roume. And what that word means is not to deliver like a UPS man delivers a package. But it really means to draw near to. So when it says, God, deliver us from evil, it's saying, allow me to draw near to you so you can keep me from the evil. Last night we were in here, we were doing a leaders meeting, and it rained last night. Everyone knows it rained. And Pastor Skip came in, his bike was parked in here, and he drove off, and it started raining, and you see him drive back. Soaked, because he doesn't like this. He has a really nice bike. He doesn't want it wrecked. I guess driving in the rain isn't good on a bike. So he comes in here, and then Dave comes in, and he has an umbrella, Dave Rao. And they walk together in the rain. And they're both out of the rain. And I thought, what a perfect example of this draw near, this concept of drawing near. When we sin, we need to draw closer to God so His umbrella can keep that sin away from us. He will keep us away from sin. The way you draw near, Bible study, being intimate with God, having that divine romance, like the song said, praying to God, getting in His Word daily will draw you near. Because if you're over here and you're sinning, and God's over here and He's sinless, and sin can't be in the presence of God, and the closer you draw nearer to Him, the less sin you will commit. Because sin can't be here. So draw closer to Him and you'll leave. You're leaving the sin behind by going to God. So again, if you're sinning, He's not swooping down like Superman. He's not coming to save the day. He's not underdog. He's nothing like that. What He's asking you to do is get closer to Him so He can shield you from that sin. So to wrap up here, we have 5 points, 5 must-haves of prayer, reverence for God, reality of His will, requests from us, repayment of debt, and rescue from sin. Did you guys all notice how I did all the R's? It's pretty clever, right? It took a long time for me to think of all those R names, so give me some credit, please. But in closing, let's go over this. I want to just talk to you guys just about your prayers. These are fancy things that we went over today. They're things that you must have in prayer. But the truth is, prayer is just talking to God. It's just doing it. Just talking the way you guys talk. If you guys are walking today and you're like, oh, I need to pray for my school. Don't put that on like a list to do at night. Just pray for it right then. Just as you're walking, go, God, I just pray for my school. I got this kid I really want to talk to. Just pray that you open that door. It doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to say amen. You don't even have to close your eyes. As you're going through your day, pray. If you see someone that came up, like I work in a skate park. And if there's kids in there cussing, I have to discipline them properly. But I'm praying for them. As I'm doing, I'm like, God, these guys just are full of sin. Just allow the love of your heart, allow the love of the Christians to rub off on these kids. And that's it. I'm just praying. I'm always plugged into him. It's like the internet with cable internet or with DSL. There's no dial-up. You don't have to dial up to it. You don't have to get on this fancy conquest to get to prayer. You can just do it. You're always plugged in. You're always plugged in. Just keep praying. And remember the power of prayer. There's this kind of movement happening in America right now and through the world that prayer is guaranteed. That if you pray enough and you have enough faith, you will have miracles in your life. You will be healed. You will be rich. And if you're not, you need to have more faith. And that's not true. A couple weeks ago, my wife got a letter from, I don't know what it was. It was like some church in Indiana, St. Augustine's, or I don't remember. It wasn't a Catholic thing, but it said St. Augustine's. And it said, we're praying for you, and we know that good things will happen in your life. Well, okay, thanks. But then it said, if you send $5, next time we pray for you, Anastasia Garcia, we will light a candle for you. Oh, okay, I have 5 candles. I can light them here. I don't need to send $5 to you. And the last part of it said, if you want to sow a faith seed of $25, we'll pray for a miracle to happen in your life. And you will see that miracle within us in like a 5-day period or 1-day period, I don't remember. And I thought it was hilarious. Because guess what? God doesn't always answer your prayers with yes. We know that. God uses some things in our lives that are devastating to help his cause, to help the church. All of us will die. Even if we're raised from the dead, guess what? Lazarus was raised from the dead. He died again. We will die. It will happen. Even if there is a miracle that raises you from the dead, you'll die. But remember, a lot of times things happen. Tragedies with bridges collapsing. That's tragic. I would pray that never happens to any of you. But through those stories, how many people are coming to know Christ? The tragedy leads to openness of the heart. So remember, sin is powerful. I'm not taking anything away from sin. Sin will fix marriages, fix relationships. It will heal. It will raise from the dead. It will cure addictions. It will forgive you of your sin, which is the biggest. But remember what I said earlier. God will answer prayers, but it may not be the way you want. It may not be with a yes. And the last thing we'll talk about is your prayer and how important your prayer is. Your prayer is very important. It's not like Bruce Almighty, where he has an inbox of prayers and he just says yes to all of them and he doesn't know who they are. Your prayer is as important as Jesus' prayer was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying, God, take this burden from me. Your prayer is just as important, and God listens to your prayer the same way. You know, a lot of times when something happens, we say, pray for me, and that's great. Let's all pray together. But don't go to Kevin and say, Kevin, you're a pastor. Will you pray for my mom? Because I don't think God hears me on this one. And don't, you know, your prayer is just as powerful as Kevin's, as powerful as Skip's, and even as powerful as Billy Graham's. Your prayer has the same power. Your prayer is listened to the same way. And last, when you guys pray, let's make an effort not to pray just to get things. Don't only go to God when you need things, when people need to be healed, when people need help. Because imagine if you only went to your parents when you needed those things, and then you just walked away and never talked to them again. That's not cool. That's not what God wants. God is the only person that will always be there for you, no matter what. When you're crying, when you're sad, when you're happy, when you're at Lone Tree, hurting yourself on Diggler's, God's there for you. He's the only one that's there for you always. And if you don't go to him constantly, how, that's just not right. We need to go to him constantly. Always be in prayer. So I hope this helped you out, guys. I hope that through this summer you guys have learned a lot through discipleship or through Lone Tree, that you guys were prepared for this school year. But even if not, just pray. God can do miracles without even preparation. Just pray. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for these group of students that are going to be going into their schools this year. And I do pray that they are able to plant seeds, that they can win people over for you. I also want to lift them up this week, that you'll bring them back safe and sound next week. As they start school within the next few weeks, that pressure is just nothing compared to the love that you give them. I just pray that all our leaders, all our students that went to Lone Tree will get rest, get healed if they're sore. And again, I want to just pray again for Free Burger Thursday, the people that were talked to, that were saved, that you can continuously plug them in where they need to be plugged in. If we need to go back there next year, that we can go back there next year, Lord. Thank you for the time spent in your word. In your name, amen.